You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct, the show where we dig into the technology that's reshaping how we fly. Today we're talking about something that honestly has me more excited than I've been about a cockpit technology in years: satellite internet in the airplane, specifically Starlink, and not just for the airlines. I mean for you in your Bonanza, in your King Air, maybe even eventually in your Cessna 172. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you love aviation, check out their gear and apparel at AviationSoul.com. Good people over there, all right. So to understand why Starlink for aviation is such a big deal, you need to understand how bad connectivity has been in airplanes for basically the entire history of aviation. And I don't just mean Wi-Fi for checking your email. I mean any kind of high bandwidth data link between your aircraft and the ground. For decades, we've had two basic options. You could use ground-based systems, which only work over land and at certain altitudes, or you could use traditional satellite systems, which are expensive, slow, and require these big, heavy antenna installations. The legacy satellite providers, companies like Viasat and Inmarsat, they use what are called geostationary satellites. These are parked about 22,000 miles above the equator. That distance creates latency. You're looking at roughly 600 milliseconds round trip just because of the physics of how far the signal has to travel, and the bandwidth has never been great. We're talking single-digit megabits per second shared among everyone on the airplane. Now enter SpaceX and Starlink. Here's what most people miss about why this is fundamentally different. Starlink satellites orbit at roughly 340 miles above Earth. Compare that to 22,000 miles for the old geostationary birds. That difference in altitude changes everything. Latency drops to around 20 to 40 milliseconds. That's comparable to your home broadband. And because SpaceX has launched over 6,000 of these satellites, with plans for tens of thousands more, the total bandwidth available is enormous. For airlines, this is already happening. SpaceX launched Starlink Aviation back in 2022, and by 2024, several major carriers had signed on. JSX was one of the early adopters. Hawaiian Airlines came on board. United announced a deal to put Starlink on their entire fleet, and the reviews from passengers have been overwhelmingly positive. People are streaming video at 35,000 feet like they're sitting in their living room. But here's where it gets really interesting for the general aviation crowd. The airline hardware is a flat panel phased array antenna. It's about 2 feet across, mounts on top of the fuselage, and it electronically steers the beam to track satellites as they pass overhead. No moving parts. That's important because moving parts on an airplane are weight, maintenance, and failure points you don't want. The current aviation terminal, the one certified for the airlines, weighs about 100 pounds all in with the mounting hardware and the modem unit, and it costs in the neighborhood of $150,000 to install. Obviously, that's nothing for a 737, but that's a non-starter for a Cirrus or a Pilatus. So the question everyone in general aviation is asking is, when do we get a smaller, lighter, cheaper version? The data tells an interesting story here. SpaceX has already developed multiple generations of consumer Starlink terminals. The original dishy, as people call it, was big and power-hungry. The second generation was significantly smaller, and they've continued to iterate. The current residential hardware is about 12 inches across and draws around 50 to 75 watts. The hardware cost to SpaceX is estimated to be somewhere around $250 to $400 per unit, though they sell them for around $500. Now, can you just strap a consumer Starlink dish to your airplane? No, absolutely not, and I want to be very clear about that. The consumer terminals are not designed for the vibration, temperature extremes, or aerodynamic environment of an aircraft. They don't have a supplemental type certificate, which is the STC you'd need from the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, to legally install them, and the tracking algorithms in the consumer units aren't optimized for the speed and bank angles of an aircraft, but the technology roadmap is encouraging. There are several companies working on general aviation Starlink solutions right now. Freedom Fiber Aero is one that's gotten a lot of attention. They've been developing a Starlink-based system specifically designed for GA aircraft, targeting the turboprop and light jet market first. The idea is a smaller antenna, lighter installation, and a price point that, while not cheap, is within reach for aircraft owners who are already spending serious money on avionics. We're probably looking at a total installed cost in the $30,000 to $60,000 range for the first generation of GA-targeted systems. That puts it in the same ballpark as a Garmin G3000 upgrade. Expensive? Yes. But for a business turboprop that flies 400 hours a year, the value proposition is real. Now, let me talk about what this actually means in the cockpit. And this is the part that I think a lot of people haven't fully thought through right now. Weather in the cockpit comes primarily through two channels. You've got ADS-B in, which gives you free flight information service broadcast weather. That's the FISB data on your Garmin or ForeFlight display. It's great, it's free. But it has limitations. The update rate for radar imagery is about 5 minutes on a good day, and the resolution is not great. If you've ever compared what you see on your iPad to what Center is painting on their scope, you know there's a gap. The other option is SiriusXM Satellite Weather, which is better resolution and faster updates, but it's a subscription service and it requires dedicated hardware. Now imagine having a full broadband internet connection in the cockpit. You could pull real-time high-resolution weather radar composites, not 5-minute-old mosaics. I'm talking near real-time data. You could run cloud-based weather models. You could access pilot reports as they're filed. You could even pull up the actual National Weather Service radar loops that the controllers are looking at. But it goes further than weather. Think about electronic flight bags. Right now, your ForeFlight or Garmin Pilot app downloads data before the flight. Charts, approach plates, notices to air missions, the terminal area forecasts. You brief on the ground because once you're in the air, you might not have connectivity. With Starlink, your EFB could be continuously connected. Real-time NOTAM updates, real-time temporary flight restriction information, approach plates that update the second the FAA publishes a revision. Think about flight planning. You could rerun your flight plan in the air with updated winds, aloft data, and get a better fuel burn estimate mid-flight. Right now, that's something you do on the ground or with rough mental math in the air. Think about maintenance. Modern aircraft engines and avionics already collect enormous amounts of data. With broadband in the airplane, that data could stream to maintenance providers in real time. Your engine monitor data going straight to the shop, trend analysis happening while you fly, predictive maintenance that actually works because it has continuous data, not just a snapshot from after you land. And yes, think about the passengers. If you're flying charter or you're a corporate flight department, connectivity for the people in back is a huge value add. That's often what justifies the cost. Now, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't talk about the challenges, because there are real ones. First, certification. The FAA's STC process is thorough, and it should be. You're mounting an antenna on the outside of an aircraft. It has to withstand bird strikes, ice, lightning, extreme temperatures, and sustained aerodynamic loads. The radome, that's the cover over the antenna, has to be transparent to the right radio frequencies while being structurally sound. The electrical installation has to not interfere with existing avionics. All of this takes time and money to certify. Second, power. A Starlink terminal draws meaningful electrical power, 50 to 100 watts or more depending on the configuration. In a Boeing, that's nothing. In a Bonanza, that's a real conversation about your electrical bus capacity. Some older aircraft have alternators that are already working hard, running a full glass panel. Adding another significant load requires careful engineering. Third, antenna placement. The phased array needs a relatively unobstructed view of the sky. On a low-wing airplane, the fuselage top is the obvious choice. But that means a bump on the airplane. Aerodynamic drag matters when you're flying at 170 knots, and every knot of speed costs you fuel. The antenna installation needs to be as clean as possible. Fourth, and this is one people don't talk about enough, cybersecurity. When you connect an aircraft to the internet, you create an attack surface that didn't exist before. Now, the avionics bus and the cabin connectivity system should be completely isolated. That's a fundamental design requirement. But the history of aviation cybersecurity research has shown that isolation isn't always as robust as designers assume. The FAA and international regulators are paying close attention to this, and any certified installation will need to meet rigorous security standards. Fifth, cost of service. Starlink Aviation for Airlines currently runs in the range of $12,000 to $25,000 per month per aircraft. That reflects the dedicated bandwidth and availability guarantees that airlines need. A GA version would presumably be much cheaper, maybe a few hundred dollars a month. But the pricing model isn't settled yet. Let me give you a realistic timeline. For turboprops and light jets, I think we'll see ST-steered, Starlink-based internet systems available for installation within the next 12 to 24 months. Some of these are already in the STC process. The first installations will probably be in the Pilatus PC-12, King Air, and Citation markets. Aircraft with the electrical capacity, the fuselage space, and the owner budgets to be early adopters. For piston singles and light twins, that's further out. Call it 3 to 5 years. The antenna needs to get smaller and lighter, the power draw needs to come down, and the price needs to drop significantly. But the trajectory of Starlink hardware suggests this is a when, not an if. And here's something I want to leave you with, because I think it's the most important point. Starlink in the cockpit isn't just about having Wi-Fi in your airplane. It's about fundamentally changing the information architecture of general aviation. Right now, a GA pilot in a single-engine piston airplane operates in a relatively information-poor environment compared to an airline cockpit. You have your basic instruments, maybe a GPS navigator, maybe an ADS-B receiver for weather. But compared to what a regional jet crew has access to, you're flying with one hand tied behind your back in terms of situational awareness. Broadband connectivity is a great equalizer. It means a Cirrus pilot over Kansas could theoretically have access to the same quality of weather data, the same real-time information, the same decision support tools as a crew flying a 737. That doesn't replace training and judgment. It never will, but better information generally leads to better decisions, and better decisions save lives. The technology is real, the demand is real, the engineering challenges are solvable. The question is just how fast the certification process and the economics come together. I'll be tracking this closely on Cleared Direct because I genuinely believe this is one of the most significant technology shifts coming to general aviation in the next decade. For today's segment, I pulled information from AveWeb's ongoing coverage of Starlink aviation developments, AOPA's reporting on connectivity solutions for general aviation, SpaceX's published specifications for the Starlink aviation product, and FAA guidance documents on aircraft connectivity installations. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by pilots who care about getting the details right. Every segment cites its sources so you can dig deeper yourself. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Go learn something about your airplane today. You'll be a better pilot for it. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.